Did you put this up here because I'm 61 years old? You saw me sitting during worship, didn't you? Ricky was leading the song. It made me think, I surrender, I surrender, I want to know you more. And a lot of times when we're singing, words just come out. We're not even thinking about them. But I was thinking about that line, I want to know you more. Why would anybody want to know God more? In some ways, when you think, okay, I want to know God, I want him to be with me, well, then am I just going to feel guilty, or am I just going to feel strange when, you know, like I watch this movie or I'm scanning Netflix or what? Why would anybody want to know God more? Here's why. On the other side of knowing God more is you living into your fullest self. He created you to live in this place where you find purpose. There's a peace that can come over you. Today we're talking about faith. The great thing about faith, if you become this person of faith, you have this trust where you don't have to white knuckle life. So maybe let's just start like this. I'm going to just let it be quiet for a little bit. Maybe let those words sink in and just say them. God, I want to know you more. I want you to be so close that you can lead me and guide me in the way I should go and live into my fullest self. Just take a second. I'm just going to let it be quiet for a little bit, okay? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd be here. I don't know where all these people are at or what they walked in here today with. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us where we're at. That we would know you more. And know you not as this angry God, but as a God who loves us. And yeah, there are things you want to take out of our life because we're hurting ourselves. But God, I pray that you would just allow us to know you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so today we're talking about the movie Signs. Why are we talking about the movie Signs? It's this really old movie. It's like came out like in 93. Why would you choose this movie? Well, here's why. It's my favorite movie. When you speak, you can speak on whatever movie you want. But this is my favorite movie. And it really does answer some really important questions for us. Like number one, do aliens exist? And the answer is, duh, of course they do. And this is what they look like. Here we go. I think we got a little bit. Right? That's okay. You just like kind of blew the scary part of this scene, Jill.
City of Passo Fundo, Brazil. It was sent to the local news bureau there and sent to us via satellite just a few minutes ago. All initial opinions are this is genuine.
See? Real.
What you're about to see may disturb you.
Vamanos!
Feels like a little bit of an overreaction to the cheesiest looking alien I've ever seen. But they're real, okay? How do they communicate? Easy. Crop circles. It's not just a bunch of nerdy college students that can't get dates. It's aliens, people. That's why, right? Third question and answers, which is a really important question. Are pastors good looking? In this movie, Graham Hess, Pastor Graham Hess is played by Mel Gibson. I rest my case. There is a scene from the movie Signs, which is the reason why I chose it. I love it from beginning to end. It has a lot of what I believe about God and faith in that movie. But there is one scene that I'm going to show you right now. And you determine which side of this conversation you're on. All right? Here you go. Watch this.
Some people are probably thinking this is the end of the world.
That's true.
Do you think it could be?
Yes.
How can you say that?
That wasn't the answer you wanted.
Couldn't you pretend to be like you used to be? Give me some comfort.
People break down into two groups. When they experience something lucky, group number one sees it as more than luck, more than coincidence. They see it as a sign, evidence that there is someone up there watching out for them. Group number two sees it as just pure luck, a happy turn of chance. I'm sure the people in group number two are looking at those 14 lights in a very suspicious way. For them, this situation is a 50-50. Could be bad. Could be good. But deep down, they feel that whatever happens, they're on their own. And that fills them with fear. Yeah, there are those people. But there's a whole lot of people in the group number one. And they see those 14 lights. They're looking at a miracle. And deep down, they feel that whatever's going to happen, there'll be someone there to help them. And that fills them with hope. See, what you have to ask yourself is, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind that sees signs, sees miracles? Or do you believe that people just get lucky? Or look at the question this way. Is it possible that there are no coincidences?
So you got to ask yourself, what do you see? Are there no coincidences? Now, I'm guessing in a place like this, you walked into a church building. If you do not believe that, I am so glad you're here. If you just think that it's all luck and that God's not a part of this, I'm really happy you're here. And we can have a conversation about that anytime you want. I can answer any question, or we can at least talk about it, right? But most people believe that there is a God, that there are no coincidences, that he works. Do you know what that makes you? It makes you a person of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There are 421 verses in the Bible on faith. In preparing for this message, I read all 421. And it turns out faith is pretty important. In fact, it's defining for us. Hebrews 11 says this. Ready? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not happening. Hebrews 10:38. My righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. So, how's your faith? Is it strong? Is it shaky? Is it good when things are going good, but then when things start, you know, the wheels start to wobble a little bit? Does your faith start to wobble? And why is this so important? Well, learning to be a person of faith means that you will have a peace in difficult seasons. That you'll understand the way things work. That you'll know that there's a God that has purpose. You'll realize that it's not happenstance. That maybe there are signs that God is trying to communicate to you. Now, who wants that? So we're going to look at what it means to be a person of faith. There's lots of different places we can look. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews spends a lot of time talking about faith. Now, before we get started, let me just give you a couple facts about the book of Hebrews. For one, we don't know who it was written to, and I know what you're saying. Yeah, we do. Hebrews. Yeah, they're everywhere, people, okay? So we don't know exactly where it was written to, although there's a very good likelihood it was written to Hebrews living in Italy, because at the end of the book, there's a lot of references to people that we know lived in Italy. Secondly, we don't know who wrote the book. People assume that it was the Apostle Paul, but we really don't know. What we do know is why it was written. It was written because these people were undergoing persecution and difficult times, and those difficult times were making their faith wobbly. So the author wanted to talk to them. He starts like this, Hebrews 10:32. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Look at this with me, okay? Think back on those early days when you learned. Think about it. Anybody remember? Way back in the beginning? This is what I remember. Maybe you have a different memory of, but when I first found Jesus, my faith was great. Like, and I would pray for everything, and God would make these great answers. God, I need a job. Desperately, if you need a job, God. Oh, hallelujah. Busboy. It's amazing they wanted to hire me. Right? God, I'm at the mall and I'm late for my appointment. Please give me a closed parking spot. Yay! Hallelujah. God, I'm sick. I need something to make me feel better from this cold. Praise God, DayQuil. In the beginning, it felt like that. But I tell you what, man, I was 14 years old. It's been a long time. And the longer you go in this faith, the more you have seasons where you wonder and you pray and you don't get that answer. And it isn't obvious to you. And if you're honest, you question, is this whole thing real? That happens. It certainly happened to these people. Hebrews 10:33 says, remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule. You were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. The suffering that the author is talking about is no small thing. He's talking about persecution. I think we've talked a little bit about this. What did first century persecution look like? Guys, it was bad. When Nero was in charge, if he found Christians, there are times he would take animal skins and he would sew it around Christian people and then sick dogs on them. And they would be eaten to death. Rough. There are times when Nero would throw a party and as lanterns for his party, he would cover Christians in oil and light them on fire. The Bishop of Smyrna was one of such person, and yet the flames didn't get high enough to burn him, so they stabbed him to death. This is what it looked like. Now, we don't face that kind of persecution, right? But did you know that 1 in 7 Christians around the world today suffers persecution? That's 360 million people. It's a lot of people. Let me give you a couple examples. Samin, a young man in Afghanistan, discovered a Facebook page designed by an Afghan who was sharing about Jesus. The two men met. Some men chose to become a Christian. He began sharing his newfound faith. Soon, more than 20 people had found Jesus. News of this reached the governing authorities, and some men was arrested. He was accused of telling people to follow Jesus. He was sent to prison. He was interrogated. He was brutalized for 6 months. During that time, his wife's new faith in Jesus was discovered. She was discovered by her extended family. She was sent back to her village after being released from prison. Some men learned that his wife had been forcibly married to another man in the village and was currently pregnant. That's today. On September 5th, a radical terrorist group invaded Deborah's home village in Chibok, Nigeria. When I heard a gunshot, I rushed out only to find my husband lying dead on the doorstep. Deborah said, men pounded on the door. Open the door or be killed. She refused, so the men fired their guns at the door. They threw it open, and they took Deborah and her two daughters by force. Over the next year and 9 months, she was forced into 20 different marriages. After about 2 weeks, each marriage ended and another began. People around the world are facing persecution, and we don't really get it, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't face difficult times that test our faith. We're going to look at that in just a second. Hebrews 10:34. Why would anybody undergo this and stay true? Why would they do that? Hebrews 10:34 says why. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. That somehow God is going to take these difficulties and work it out in your life. Let's keep reading. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember, the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. God wants us to not turn back. But here's the reality. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we lose faith. And we all know somebody that was close and walking, maybe even here, and decided to turn around on all of that. Now, how do we, you and I, make sure we don't do that in our lives? Well, I've got 6 points today. Don't worry. Next time I speak, it'll be pointless. But I have 6 points today. And I want to give you three basics of the faith, and then I want to challenge your faith in a couple of different ways. First, basic of the faith is this. Here's how we get to that place where we understand what faith is and it becomes part of our life. Faith is believing something even when you can't see it. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hoped of and certain of what we do not see. Okay, I'm going to challenge you right now to turn to somebody and give them either the favorite movie you've seen this summer, the favorite movie you've ever seen, or just a movie you like. Okay, I'm not going to make it hard. If you're an introvert in this room, here's what I want you to do. Pull out your phone, pretend you're texting somebody, okay? You don't have to play along. I get it. But if you can, if you want, you turn to somebody, maybe your spouse, whatever. Favorite movie, something. Go ahead, go. Stop enjoying each other. Stop it. All right. Introverts, finish your text. Okay. Somebody shout one out. The Godfather. How old are you? Next. Anybody else? Out of Africa. Ooh, Wizard of Oz. Wow. Wow, that's great. Okay. Contact. I like that. What? Planet Earth. Okay, good, good. Or anybody else want to shoot something out there? The Love of the Game? Yeah. Okay. No. Wait. The person with their hand up in the back. What was that? X-Men. Okay. Did somebody sing The Sound of Music? Wow. You and Rachel get together afterwards. Okay. So, nobody mentioned what I think is the best movie ever. And let me explain this movie to you. This movie has twists and turns. That you meet the characters and you like them instantly. There's this amazing character development. There's some really funny lines that just come out. They just bounce out every now and again. They totally catch you by surprise. And at the end, there's a twist that you're not seeing. Do you know what movie I'm talking about? The movie that I am talking about is the movie you haven't seen yet. See, you have seen a lot of great movies. I've seen a lot of great movies. Nobody said Shawshank. Wow, what a great movie. I cried at Inside Out. And I've seen it 5 times, 4 times without children. Just bawling. Into the Spider-Verse is a great comic book Spider-Man movie. For what it does, it's amazing. Godzilla Minus One is the greatest Godzilla movie ever made, and you should watch it. I'm not kidding, right? It's good. Stand up, James. Got a Godzilla shirt on right there. Come on. Man, I love this church. I'm going to wear a Godzilla shirt next time. You might love this movie so much, you might be able to quote it. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. But you've already seen it. For you to have a movie that gets you on the edge of your seat, that jumps out at you, that has surprises, that has ups and downs and twists and turns. That's faith. We want to live our lives so that we know everything. We can anticipate everything. We plan for everything. That is not the life that God calls us to. He calls us to be people walking into the unknown, eagerly anticipating what he has next, and you can't predict it. That's what faith is. It's not knowing. If you know, you no longer have faith or need it. Secondly, faith knows that God can bring good things from bad. I talk about this a lot. I'm not going to go into it in a lot of detail, but Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, I have sat across a table at Starbucks talking to people who have told me that the cancer they had was the greatest thing that ever happened to them. And the more people I talk to, the addiction led to taking care of somebody else's addiction. The hurt and pain from the divorce helped me walk other people through the divorce. People in this room know the truth of this verse, that the bad things can lead to good things if we invite God into them. If we don't invite God to them, all the bad things just make you bitter. Who's bitter today? All right. Number three. Faith has less to do with how strong your belief is and more to do with what you put your belief in. I mean, Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, that's one of the tiniest seeds ever. It's not this great sense of internal confidence. That's what I want. I want to have faith so that I just have this great, amazing sense of internal confidence, but it has more to do with what I put my faith in than having this great sense of internal confidence. And let me give you an example. This is totally, obviously a made-up story. But a guy dies, and he's at the pearly gates, and Peter's there. And Peter looks at him and says, so in your life, did you do anything particularly noble? He says, well, as a matter of fact, I did. I walked out of this bar, and outside of this bar was a group of high testosterone bikers. They had the leather jackets, they had the Harleys, well tattooed, all of these people, and they were hassling this young woman. And so what I did is I went up to the biggest, baddest biker. I smacked him on the helmet, I shoved over his bike, and I ripped out his nose ring. And Peter goes, wow, that is impressive. When did that happen? A couple minutes ago. He had amazing faith in his own ability to face down bikers. Having amazing faith, having that kind of confidence is not what we're talking about. There are people that confidently believe that Elvis is still alive. What makes you a person of faith is you place that faith in the right source, and Jesus is that source. He is somebody that we can rely on. Okay, those are three facts about faith. Now let me give you three controversial concepts about faith. One, the riskiest, most dangerous step you'll ever take is putting your faith in Jesus. You know, sometimes, like, I'll end a service and I'll give you an opportunity to find Jesus, and I'll do that again today. And sometimes I get criticized because it makes it sound like it's super easy. And it is. Asking Jesus into your life is merely admitting that he is in charge. I'm going to give my life to him. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. It isn't complicated. But putting all of your faith in Jesus, it's risky. So let's see how many risk takers we have in this room. Okay, how many people have ever bungee jumped? Bungee jumping people? Okay, good, me too. Any of you ever paraglided? Anybody? You paraglided? It's amazing, right? I'm so scared, and I just loved it so much. How about skydived? We've got some skydivers. Now, you guys, I think, are nuts. Never doing that. You're crazy. Listen, we got some adventurous people, but the riskiest thing you will ever do is put your trust in Jesus. Hebrews 11 gives a lot of examples. It gives some of the big shots, you know, Moses and Abraham. But then it talks about some other people. And I want you to look with me at Hebrews 11, 32. It makes this whole list of faithful people. What more shall I say? I don't even have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. Who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Who's in, right? Man, that's what I want. I want to shut the mouth of lions and bring back people from the dead. This, if I stopped there, we'd be all in on faith. But then he talks about the others. He keeps going. Others were tortured. They refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers, flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned with rocks. Yeah, that's bad joke, but they were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. You know what? I don't want to be a part of the others. I don't want to be beaten, and I don't want to be put in jail, and I certainly don't want to be sawn in two. This is what it looks like. Faith is risky. Now, I just have one. Like, most of you won't face any of that, but one of these lines in here, it says some faced jeers. Listen, if you stand up for Jesus in our world on a school campus, or if you are at work or in your neighborhood, you will face jeers. People will distrust you. They will instantly think that you're a judgy person, that you're trying to push something on there. They'll view you like a timeshare salesman. It is risky. And yet that's what God calls us to do. He wants us to take that risk. Risk reaching out to that person. Risk putting Jesus in charge of your decision making. Risk allowing God to have something to do with your money. Not just using it for yourself. Risk saying, I don't know better. God knows better. And I'm going to put my faith that he knows better. It's risky. Number two, failing at faith is not fatal. As I was reading through the Bible, there are a lot of situations like this. Somebody comes up to him and was blind, and Jesus heals them, and he says this. You ever hear this? Your faith has healed you. right? Or somebody's daughter is dying, he comes and says, if you just say the word, she'll be healed. Your faith has healed you. So he can't walk, he makes him walk. Your faith is, it happens all the time, which is great for them. But let me tell you something. I have prayed for so many people to be healed, and you know who I prayed for more than anybody else? Me. And my faith hasn't healed me. And sometimes we look at ourselves and go, wow, I'm disqualified. I'm not a person of faith. If I had bigger faith, then maybe God could actually use me. Let me tell you something. There were some people that Jesus over and over and over again criticized for their lack of faith. You know who they were? They were his disciples. They were his 12. They were his top 12 guys. And they were almost never complimented for their faith. They're almost always criticized for their faith. Okay, Matthew 14, Peter tries to walk on water. What happened? Boom. Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus put out his hand and he caught him and he said this. What did he say? You of little faith, why did you doubt? All right? Matthew 8, the disciples find themselves on a boat again and it looks like it's going under. And I don't know if you've ever been on a boat when it gets really crazy, but this could cost them their lives. And they said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he replied, what? You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Matthew 17, the disciples are trying to heal this guy. Nobody could do it. They come to Jesus. Disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Listen, failing at faith is not fatal. The top 12 failed all the time. Failing at faith is not fatal. Not risking is fatal. Because let me tell you something about the 12. God got a hold of them. He built his church on the 12. He sent them around the world. They spoke to people time and again. They did great miracles. God used them in amazing ways around the world. And you know what? It ultimately cost them their life. But when you get to heaven, you can ask them, was it worth it? And they will all tell you to a man, absolutely. Not risking is the most dangerous thing you can do. Okay, let me read you a quote. Eileen Guder wrote this. You can live on bland food as to avoid an ulcer, drink no tea, coffee, or other stimulants in the name of health, go to bed early, stay awake late at night, avoid all controversial subjects so as to never give offense, spend money only on necessities and save all you can, and you can still break your neck in the bathtub and it'll serve you right. You can be one of the 500,000 people a year who injure themselves falling out of bed. Listen, failing at faith is not fatal. Not risking. That's fatal. Not taking that step. Okay, I don't know where you're at or how you're feeling right now. If you're wondering, can I do this? Before we go, I want to give you three simple words to revolutionize your attitude about life. We talked about the disciples over and over and over and how many times they failed. And finally, in Luke chapter 17, they decided, okay, we're no good at this. The apostles said to the Lord, three-word prayer. Do you see it? Increase our faith. Increase our faith that in this difficult financial situation, you will provide for us. Increase our faith that as we walk through this health situation, you're going to show up in ways that I never imagined. Increase our faith in that I jumped to something unknown and I don't know where you're at, God, but that you're going to somehow show up for me. Increase my faith that my partner left me and now I'm alone, but that you're going to use it somehow. This is what we need, people. Increase our faith. God, increase these guys' faith to the place where they changed the world. And they were nothing but faith failures. So why don't we end like this? Why don't we make it silent again? And you can come before God and you can just say these three words. So just close your eyes, bow your head. I don't know what he's asking you to do. I don't know who he's asking you to reach out to, what ministry he wants you to help serve in, what person in your neighborhood he wants you to care for, what finances he wants you to give and where. But pray this, three words, increase my faith. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would increase mine. I'm not praying, not for these people can pray that themselves, but I'm praying it for me. Because I know on the other side of me really trusting you is a sense of peace. And I always get this picture of a young kid in one of those old station wagons that faces backwards in the back. That I'm sitting in the back of the station wagon and I don't have to worry about where I'm going because my dad knows where he's going. Oh, Lord God, I had know that in my head, but I pray that you'd help me to get that in my heart. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be risky people who risk it, risk getting jeers, risk getting ridiculed. And God, I pray that as these people, myself included, as we risk, that you would show us how worth it it is, that you put them on the front row when you do the amazing, because that's who you are. Lord Jesus, make us people of faith. And I promise I would do that. If you want to know this Jesus, if you want to give your life to him, if you realize you've done, tried to do it on your own and you're not capable, but God is, you want to be in a relationship with this God who wants to bring out your absolute best, then pray this. Say, dear God, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. I give my life to you. I put you in charge. I give you the keys. You run my life. If you pray that, that begins a brand new life for you. In your seat in front of you, there's a little card that says, I said yes. You can put it in the back in the box that says, I said yes. We want to help you on that journey. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here today. In your name we pray. Amen. At this part of the our Sunday service, I want to bring up a friend of mine that I realize that at Covenant Grove, there are other people that are not old people like me. And God speaks to us all in our different ages and stages and what have you. And as I've spent time with my friend Wes, I've been very impressed at the depth that God has given him. So for the next couple minutes, he's just going to respond. I hope you agreed with the message. If you didn't, that's okay. You can say it too, Wes. Wes, you're up, buddy. All right.
Thank you. I have 3 minutes, so let me tell you about my whole life. I think faith is a fantastic topic. So I feel like faith is kind of where I'm living at right now. So I'll tell you a little bit about it. I've always felt like I had a pretty clear picture of what my purpose is. And I had a plan for my life. You know where this is going already. Things didn't exactly always go to plan. I thought, okay, I'm going to get a certain kind of job. I'm going to get promoted, make connections, learn things, eventually be ready to lead my own team of people. Working in a certain industry and stuff. And, coming out of high school, I was thinking, I don't really want to go to a Christian college. I grew up in church. I feel like I've got a good grasp on Christianity. I want to go to a school where I can actually learn my trade, you know. And I ended up going to a Christian college, which was amazing. And I learned my trade. It was great. Now, this was in the film industry. I wanted to work in film. I didn't want to work in television. I really didn't want to work in advertising, and I really, really didn't want to work making online content. So, of course, I made online content, mostly advertising. And that's kind of where I was for a couple of years. Had some great opportunities, ended up moving back here late 2019, thinking it'll be a few months. I'll get that job switching to that new industry. And then COVID happened, and everything got crazy. And then that industry that I was trying to get into just in the last 2 years has had the biggest layoffs the industry's ever seen. It's had the worst, it's in the worst place it's been since the 80s. And it's like, things are not going exactly how I had planned, right? And so I've been here for 5 years, expecting at any time that I could just find that next step. And it hasn't exactly played out that way, right? So that kind of led to some questions. I always had a strong sense of my purpose. Was I wrong? Was I doing something wrong? And some of those doubts kind of start to creep in, and that's really where you need faith. I started likening myself to Abraham. When God told Abraham to go to the promised land, he told him, go to the land that I will show you. He doesn't know where he's going yet, but go now. You can actually look up a map of like where he went, and he's twisting around and he's going here and then there, and then he doubles back, and finally God reveals, okay, here's where I want you to end up. And he does a 180 and turns all the way back around and finally ends up where he's supposed to go. But he started moving before he learned where he was supposed to go. And that's kind of where I felt. It's like, I'm just trying to move forward in faith, step by step, even though I don't know where I'm going yet. And there was a while where I was praying to God, asking for, can show me a path, a direction, or show me a destination, help me out here. And in one day in the middle of one of those prayers, he ended up asking me, if I never, ever show you a path or a destination, will you still trust me day by day? And that was not what I wanted to hear. And that's a hard question. And I reluctantly said, yeah, okay. Fun fact, so this last Tuesday, three big things kind of happened all in one day. I watched Signs for this week and the sermon on faith. I went to the, what are we calling it, a session or a workshop? I went to the workshop we did about like finding your purpose, which actually was very helpful, and it helped me slightly but significantly change kind of how I viewed that. And the third thing, all in the same day, was I got a phone call from a friend, and that may end up leading into a work opportunity in the next few months. And I don't know if it will. It could be something great. It could lead to nothing. And either way, that's fine. I trust God. And that's what it's about. And that's where I've been living for a few years, is like, you know what? Like we heard in the movie, it's like, when it comes down to it, ultimately someone's there to help me. And so our faith is in Christ, and we know that he's there to help us. And even when we're in these times where it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't. But I am still going to continue to move forward in faith, step by step, trusting day by day.
Just stay there. Stay there. Can I just take a second and pray for Wes? Lord Jesus, thank you. This is what we want. We want to know that you're walking before us day by day. And I pray that you would give him the strength and the peace to trust you. And God, I'm also going to pray that you take him to amazing places. In your name we pray. Amen.